the idea that you make it by yourself is a fiction that we tell ourselves to try to make ourselves feel more important, where, you know, it really does take a village to kind of be successful, and you got to pick that village wisely.
Welcome to Elements of Styles, the business podcast that trades in scarce thinking for community, conversation, and ideas in abundance. Each week, I, Mark Styles, sit with professionals and entrepreneurs, both local and global, and learn how they each add value to their communities, their partners, and their teams. Please enjoy. Hey, folks, welcome back to Elements of Styles. Today, I am grateful to have a guest, this guy, the host of Tuesdays with TJ. Today being Tuesday, I really hope I didn't disrupt his routine. And also Lip Sync Drop Off, some of the finest content you will see on social media. I encourage you to get engaged with this guy. It's awesome. And oh, by the way, he's a mortgage loan professional, which I like to refer to as a lifetime debt manager for the consumers. Please meet or be reacquainted with TJ Curran. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So I will say
if my lip syncing at school drop off when I drop my kid off for kindergarten is some of the best content people see, then they really need to find some better content. They need to expand their horizons, because we threw it up. So I threw it up there just for the hell of it, because I enjoy being silly. I actually did stand-up comedy professionally for a little while, and people loved it. So I was like, that's Wednesday's content now. I don't need that. And Tuesdays with TJ has been a weird thing. It kind of, for me, was, you know, remember Brain Droppings, George Carlin?
I remember George Carlin.
Yeah, so George Carlin has a series of books called Brain Droppings. It's basically just like his thoughts. And I was like, what if we did this as an email? And I started this in 2014, so like 10 years. It started as an email, and I would just take a picture back with the flip phone, take a picture and put it on embed it in the email and say, hey, I got a flat tire today, but, you know, blah, 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 and try to be a little bit like uplifting, you know, try to turn some stuff around. And so I've been doing it for about 10 years. It eventually evolved into video. And now I was at the New England Mortgage Bankers Convention in Connecticut last month. And people who I've never met before were coming up to me and pointing and being and saying, Tuesdays with TJ. So I thought that was, I mean, I was like, all right. Took 10 years for me to do it, but it's been the best marketing, because marketing really is kind of, you know, showing people who you are and kind of creating a bond. And over the years, I think that's what I've tried to do more than anything else. I never really tried to sell anyone on anything or, you know, convince anyone about anything. I just was like, hey, this is what I'm thinking today. So
did I disrupt it? Have you done it yet? Today
I have not done it, and I have a couple of, you know what, this will be fun. I have a couple of ideas, and I want your thoughts. So
cool.
This shirt, I don't know if people can see the shirt. So this shirt is, it's, I've never worn this shirt before, and when I put it on, I thought to myself, I look like I'm about to advise someone in the Hunger Games, like the collar. It's very for me, avant-garde, a little bit avant-garde, but it's, you know, it's Ralph Lauren, so it's not too far out there. And I'm going to have lunch with a realtor in Newport who's very stylish. She's a very stylish woman. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to wear this, and she'll either appreciate it or she'll say, never wear that again. And I can respect that opinion. And the idea is, don't ask the opinion of someone that, you know, like I wouldn't, you know, there are men, and we both know them, who only wear like Red Sox jerseys. They, you know, like, I don't care what they think about fashion, you know. This woman who actually is fashionable, I value her opinion. So that's one thought. The other thought is the idea of being self-made, and how bootstrapping has been hijacked. The story of bootstrapping has been hijacked to kind of fill in other people who are clearly not bootstrappers, like Elon Musk, not a bootstrapper. Jeff Bezos, not a bootstrapper. Bill Gates, no way. Like, they all got loans of like at least $250,000. I think the lowest point was $250,000 from their parents, uncles, aunts, whoever. So the idea that you make it by yourself is a fiction that we tell ourselves to try to make ourselves feel more important, where, you know, it really does take a village to kind of be successful, and you got to pick that village wisely. So
how many thoughts do you write down? So coming from the stand-up comedian world, right? My understanding is you're always putting notes. You're always ripping off a napkin, writing that thought down, putting it back in your pocket, getting it into the file. Is there a file of thoughts that haven't yet found its way to Tuesdays with TJ?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of them that just don't work either. Like, I remember when I was a comedian, I still think about this today. So there's killer bees, right? Killer bees. And since then, there've been like crazy killer bees. The ones up in the Pacific Northwest are really, like, really evil looking. But, you know, this was probably 2010-ish, 2011-ish. Killer bees, their genus and species is like Africanized bees. And I have this idea that, like, you know, like, as people, we're so racist, we're even racist towards bees. And I was like, there's a joke there somewhere. And I could never figure out a way to make it funny or really to get it to work. So, like, there's a lot of failures there. But I think the one good thing about comedy or art in general is that you realize early on that failure is the beginning. It's not the end result. So if you, like, there are a bunch of people, we talked about this, I think, before we came on air, everything's content, everything, everyone's making content, everyone's filming themselves. And there are so many people who quit as after the first or second video or whatever. And frankly, some should, but there are people who, almost everyone, if you continuously do something, you're going to get better at it.
Right.
And people accept their first or second failure as the end result, where it really is the beginning. You're not born being good at something. And, you know, very few people, maybe, you know, very few people are, at least, you know, prodigies or whatever, but you're never going to be good the first time out. Like we just talked about Tuesdays with TJ. Some weeks are really not my best effort, but I do it to get the job done. And it's been a decade of practice, and I'll watch reps. Getting some reps in. But I watch people who put up videos, and they're real slick. They're edited. The video look good. They look good. There's like theme music, and meanwhile, like, I'm doing this dumb thing where I point the camera at myself and I just stand there and talk. And,
but it's your audience. It's your community. Yeah, it's your tribe. Right. It's who you're talking with that is probably very different than who that person's talking with, who's doing the production and the editing and the flash and the, you know, all of
it. I don't want to be an ad. So we already have, like, our whole life is someone trying to sell us stuff, right? Like, we're on our phone and someone's trying to sell our stuff. And we go somewhere and, you know, there's ads to buy something somewhere. And then you're driving home on the radio, there's ads. And you get home at night and you watch a TV and there's ads. And, you know, you're scrolling through social media. Everyone's trying to sell you something. So trying to be more like that is not my goal. I never want to be. I don't want anyone to look at it and be like, that's an ad. And that was my point completely. Mm-hmm. Coming out, even I do a radio show every week on WPRO on Sundays at 1 p.m. called Gimme Shelter. Apologies to the Rolling Stones. But
if they sue you, you made it.
Oh, if they even hear the show, I made it. But Mick and them have, I think they were arrested in Rhode Island at one point.
Cool.
But when I set out to do the show, it was myself and a realtor named Kyle Sabath, who I think statistically is like, always ranked in the top five realtors in the country. And we said, we don't want to sell anyone anything. All these other versions of this sound like an infomercial. Mm-hmm. And we want to be informative. We want to be educational. We want to be a little fun. So if your goal is to look more like an ad, I feel like it's actually doing you a disservice.
I agree. It's the authenticity, right? It's know me, love me, trust me. That was the genesis of podcasting, right? As a punk rocker, do it yourself, or yeah, I'll podcast and I'm going to help my friends. Yeah. I'm going to help present them, shine the light on them and prop them up to their community in a way that's early adopting, right? It's a unique platform, podcasting. Are you listening to a bunch of podcasts now?
I do. I listen to a wide variety. I like Bill Simmons a lot. He's kind of the OG podcaster. I followed him back when he was the Boston sports guy, when he had a page on AOL, even before he got to ESPN. And
talk about reps, right? He's good because he's done it so many times. Malcolm Gladwell, 10,000,
right?
10,000 rule, right? Like he is so smooth, though. I like his rewatchable.
Oh, that's one of my favorites. Yeah, it's especially if it's a movie that you love too, and you kind of thinking to yourself, oh, I know that's not the best scene, but whatever. Gladwell has a bunch of Pushkin Industries has a bunch of really kind of more limited run podcasts that he's put out. I don't listen to Joe Rogan, although if he has a guest that I really am interested in, I'll listen to him talk to that guest because he does such long form. He had an interview with Billy Walters, who's probably the best professional gambler who ever lived. That was last week, and I listened to that.
To Kid Rock this morning.
Yes, yeah, I won't touch that. Yeah,
but that will take me a week. So it's funny. So are there ones that you commit to on a weekly? Because I don't commit to Joe Rogan either.
No. During football season, Bill Simmons, but not during basketball season. The Weird Watchables I really like. Smartless.
Yes.
I will watch. I listen to every Monday.
Every Monday. Same.
Yeah. There's a Pat Mayo. Pat Mayo has a podcast. It's about golf, because I really like golf, and he talks about golf bet gambling, and I do bet on golf. Usually every week, so I'll listen to that every Tuesday or there's another one called Shut Up and Give Me Murder, I think it's called. It's on Wondery. And then I listen to a lot of Audible. Like I just finished Black AF History. It's probably a book that should be taught in schools. It really is.
Funny you bring up Audible. So I'm at a crossroads with Audible now. So I was able to make the transition to Audible from reading books and listening, but I feel like I'm still collecting with Audible, and I'm a Spotify for all things Audible audio. Yeah. You're right. I consume all things through Spotify, and now they've enabled me to stream books. Yeah. But yet now even my digital collection, like I had a collection on Audible, and it's like that was my library, and it's like let it go. Like Spotify, it's part of my membership. I just, if I want to listen to a book or a podcast, it's the same thing. Just let it go.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have Audible, Wondery now. I have that app, and then Spotify. And I feel like it's a different experience for all of them. So I kind of like jumping between them. And I feel like the Audible experience I know is kind of going to be a long haul. Like if I have a longer drive, I'll put that on versus... if I'm going to have a shorter drive, I'll look for something on Spotify, whether it's a podcast or a specific playlist that I kind of curated to listen to for music.
Yeah. Or have you used the Spotify AI DJ, the one that they've picked for you? Hey, what's up, TJ? I'm thinking it's Saturday night. We're going to get into some groove. You like to groove? We're going to play something from 2023 for you.
So I have listened to it, and usually it's like it was the summertime. On the deck, grilling up some burgers.
Yeah.
And my son really found it cringe. And he's 5, by the way. So if he found it cringe.
Got it.
I was kind of not really listening to it. But I still listen to it. I think it's interesting. Like the algorithm stuff is interesting. But I'm so specific about the music I like that I like to find it to myself. So that's part of it. So.
Do you engage with the algorithm, though? Because I find Spotify has me figured out. Like, whoa, I haven't thought of this song in a long time. And wow, I forgot about this song and it's so good.
Yeah. And to the point where they really have me pegged as classic rock. So no matter what I put on, there's going to be Steely Dan in my playlist, which I love Steely Dan. and I will listen to them nonstop, but I also want to kind of venture out and hear some new stuff. So sometimes I'll put on, was it the, you know, that song, Can I Call You Rose? The Something Souls, the, I forget it was, but I'll just, if I find a song that I like that's new, I'll plug that in and let the, let it kind of run from
yep.
there.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah. So I'll do that too.
I think my DJ's done a great job so far. Yeah, I'm pretty fired up about it. Hey, let me ask you about the relationship you're about to encounter at lunch today. So this agent from Newport, you're going to sit down. You have that relationship where she'll give you the feedback on that sweater, truly, honestly, authentically, friendly, deeply, and truthfully?
No, I don't. So I don't know if I have that relationship with anyone in my life, but yep. I kind of... So I'm
do you expect her to say something right away about it?
No, I try not to have any expectations about cool. any encounters.
Cool.
Ever.
You don't role play it in your head. Like, okay,
no,
if this happens,
no,
then this is.
No, again, the theater background, I really like improv. So like, you know, like I'm someone who just would, you know, I put on a fake mustache and walk into a room just to see what I could do, you know, what kind of conversations I could start. But, and I literally have done that too.
Yeah.
Right? But so, I don't know that I have that kind of relationship with anyone really, but I will,
love it.
But so here's the thing that I plan to do, and I didn't really role play it, but now that you ask, like my thought was to really kind of give her flowers as a stylish person. And if it does come up, say, you know, that I was kind of apprehensive about the shirt, but you are someone I think of as really stylish, you know, what are your thoughts? You know, I think if you give someone high status, like we talk, so improv, we talk about improving when you're in an improv exercise, there's high
yes,
status,
and.
Low status. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, kind of making sure that they know that you value their opinion, whatever it's about, you know, this shirt is obviously what we're talking about, but, I think if you're in a conversation or a relationship of any kind, letting people know where they stand in your mind from the jump usually kind of facilitates good experiences.
Well, I also heard vulnerability in there too. So it was, you know, I was apprehensive about this. This isn't something I'm comfortable. However, I value your opinion, you know, help me,
yeah.
help
yeah.
me. Right.
So, I feel like, well, I mean, I think it's ironic that we're doing a podcast talking about this because I feel like we're kind of in a masculine post vulnerability stage where it's almost
a shift.
Well, it's supposed to be not masculine to be vulnerable, but I feel like it's just the opposite. I feel like
it's a superpower.
It is. You know, and again, you know, not to keep harping on it, but, you know, when I did acting, you have to put yourself in someone's shoes, and there's a lot of empathy that goes with it. And then you have to kind of say, all right, how do these shoes look on me? Which is, there's a vulnerability to it. And I feel like it back to failure. Like, I feel like the more vulnerable you make yourself in situations, the more you're going to fail, because it's a harsh and cruel world. That's just the way it is. But the more that you learn about yourself and the more you learn about how to navigate those situations, right? So
right.
if you kind of put yourself out there and you make the first move as far as, you know, being vulnerable, then that's going to give the person you're with the opportunity to also, you know, reciprocate, meaning, be vulnerable themselves, and you get some real stuff going, right? You get some real kind of you make some headway, and you make some progress in whatever you're trying to do. Or, you know, all right, this person's not my person. This person's not.
And what do you do with that information?
I typically keep it to myself until I'm done, and then I just don't bother with that person again. And again, this is like if I'm having lunch with a realtor or, you know, potential referral partner, or, you know, I mean, it held true if I was, you know, married now, but like when I was dating, that, you know, I kind of knew within the first 20 minutes of a date whether I thought it was going to work out or not, just based on, you know, body language and vulnerability level. And it became a joke with my friends that I just liked going to try new restaurants. The date was kind of superfluous. It was kind of, you know, I just need an excuse to try the new restaurant, you know, so.
That's really interesting, though, that you can trust that judgment and you don't hang on and say, well, maybe if I change my thoughts a little bit, I can work with this person and I can hold my nose. And
there's, so I guess I'm lucky in my career that I've reached the point where I don't need to do a lot of nose holding. I would prefer to, and this is true, and I actually kind of, you know, I was on a career trajectory where I was going to, you know, try to be the greatest and blah, blah, blah. And now I'm backing into a production that gives me the lifestyle that I want to live and just the life that I want to live, which is more important. So my point is I would prefer to make less money and work with people I like than to hold my nose and work for people who are unethical, or can we swear?
You know, it's America. Last time I checked.
Or assholes. And I'll tell you a story, and this is a true story. We met when I was at William Ravis, right?
Yeah.
So when I was at William Ravis, I left there right before I got married, and I was still working with a few of the agents there. And this agent was in Newport, and I was getting married in Portsmouth, which is the town right next to. And I got married on a Sunday. It was a holiday weekend, so the Monday was off. It was a bank holiday. No one was open. And an agent called me, and I answered my phone because I'm a schmuck, and I answer my phone on
your wedding day?
Hour before. Like, I'm at the venue, and I was like, hey, how are you? And she said, do we have the condo questionnaire back on the, you know, Smith file? And I was like, hi. Well, usually the processor handles the condo questionnaires, but I do know the condo association head, and I could deal with that when I get back Tuesday. I don't know if you realize this, but I'm about to get married. And I just thought she'd say, oh, congratulations, sorry. She said, well, that's all well and good, and we're all really happy for you, but there's something called customer service.
No.
That's literally what she said. And I hung up the phone, and I said, I'm never, ever going to work with her again. And no. I had a conversation with her, and it was the first time I ever – and this was someone who gave me, you know, five figures – worth a commission of business every year. And she was a jerk the whole time. But I figured, you know what? I need to hold on to this relationship and kind of kowtow to her because
I need that money.
Right. And it's so freeing when you're able to do that. And it stings the wallet at first. But I think having realistic because you're having a real relationship. And that's the thing, that's so much of our business is so transactional. There are so many people, and I'm sure you come across this as well, who are literally giving money. Transactional, there are loan officers giving money to real estate agents,
which is so illegal, by the way.
It's very illegal, but it's almost like it's so
expected in some cases, right?
So wide open and out in the open that you're like, oh, nothing's gonna happen to those people.
We need names, TJ. We need names.
I could give you 10 off the top of my head.
We exist
in a space where if you have a real relationship with someone, that means you can have a difficult conversation without fear of them saying, well, I'm never going to work with that guy.
Right.
Or, you know, like you can have a real conversation and say, all right, here's something that came up. We need to work together to fix it. And they're more willing to fix it because it's a real relationship versus, you know, like someone who gave you whatever X amount of dollars, and there's someone right behind them, by the way, to give them just a little bit more, and they're going to take that, and you're just a number to them, you know?
And you're only as good as your last deal, TJ.
Well, that's a race to the bottom. And you know, like, everyone wants to be perfect all the time, but you're just not going to be. And I'm sure there are agents or loan officers listening to this right now being like, nah, I'm perfect. And you know what? You're not. And it's okay. And you know what? You probably need a hug too.
Yeah, so, you're not alone.
No, like,
it's going to be okay.
Perfect. And
right.
If you're sitting there thinking, oh, that TJ, he knows he's not perfect. I have the advantage on him. I would beg to differ. I just think, you know, I just think I kind of know the game, and I know, you know, I don't know. I've been doing it long enough. I know that I don't know everything, and I learn something new every day. And as long as you're open to learning and being vulnerable and knowing that you're not perfect, you're going to be fine. And for the people who are, you know, spending money on business that is basically bribes, then, you know, you're going to be fine too until someone comes along with a bigger bribe.
Right. So, folks, if you've been listening, you realize we're workshopping Tuesdays with TJ. So the other one, the option that we were talking about, not the sweater robe kind of stoic Spartan sweater there you've got going on, the bootstrapping. So $250,000 loan, like, okay, I'm a punk rocker. I'm a do-it-yourselfer. I know what you mean. Like, let's grab from the bootstraps. Let's build something. However, is there a problem getting financing? Like, isn't that the work smarter, not harder answer? And I agree with you that you can never do it alone. It's the human beings contributing to your success with you, I think, is a kind of prologue to that conversation.
Yeah. And I guess my point is, you can't claim to be like, so bootstrapping comes from Horatio Alger, who was a writer in the 20s. He wrote these mythical stories of people who, you know, came to America with 10 cents in their pocket and, you know, made it big. And there are literally people who have done that. I know these people. I have met them, right? They came to America with no money and they made it good. So people like, you know, and again, he's a billionaire, so he could crush anyone. But like, people like Bezos or Elon Musk to say that they're the same as those people is a fiction.
Well, at what point is enough or not enough, right? So you come over to this country. So I'm a big Elon Musk fan, in full disclosure. The listener who shares consuming this podcast knows that. And I listened to his biography, Audible. It's in my Audible library for now, but I probably will never listen to it again. So I'm going to move on to the Spotify book listening. However, coming over here with little to nothing, at what point is it not a bootstrap anymore?
Well, his parents owned an emerald mine, right? I didn't read his biography.
No,
I
just, like that.
No, they did not.
His dad was kind of a huckster. What would be a good term for, you know, a wheeler dealer who never really kind of put anything together, you know, created a lot of stuff. And I wouldn't call him a loser. He was very, I probably would call him a loser for the way the description of how he fathered his kids, abusive, like ugliness. However, again, different continent, different generation, who am I to judge? I listened to his story and I, you know, formed my own conclusions. However, I think there's some misinformation out there on him. I'm not sure exactly what the, you know, hate is going to hate kind of thing with him.
And again, it wasn't him specifically. It was just the idea of it. So if he truly was someone who came to this country with a nickel in his pocket, where did he go to school?
In Canada. Very little.
McGill? Did he go to McGill?
No.
Oh.
Did he?
He never went to college?
He went to like St. Joe, like almost a, look, I feel like I'm being quizzed on my book report.
I just, all these things, this is all news to me. I know him as a very successful internet troll. that's how I know him.
Well, I would ask you to reframe for a minute what he's done and where his North Star lay. Because yes, he's super wealthy, although he purposefully sold a lot of material items to let people know that that's not what he's about. And I believe that his North Star, his BHAG, is to better humanity. And every underlying company and idea that he's thought of, that he's helped build organization around, is for that goal, sustainability, you know, extraplanetary living, resources, automation, all of it, without really focusing on money. You know, we talked about this in our early days of work, right? It's like, oh, I might need that money. After PayPal, I don't think really was concerned about money.
Yeah.
And it happened to be there all the time at massive, massive scale.
If his goals are altruistic, that's good for him. I just, the stuff he puts on Twitter.
Oh yeah.
Is not X. Necessarily whatever it is. It's.
Are you on X? Are you watching? Do you put Tuesdays with TJ on X?
I don't. I'm only on X for like basically golf content. That's it. I don't. It is such a bad place. It's
you
like
think so?
You know that. So you know those, you know when you were.
Ooh,
you know,
this like, is going in another direction. That I
yeah.
Didn't
it's just. It's just. It's just the. It's the worst of every keyboard warrior, with a terrible opinion. It's just a lot of
noise.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of negativity.
It's unmonitored, right? It's uncensored. So,
to me,
the human being is going to say what the human being is going to say.
You know what? Human beings will say a lot of things without fear of consequence. And that's what we've learned in the internet age. So, every keyboard warrior, you know, that with an avatar that's not their face and a name that's not really theirs is going to say all kinds of incendiary things. It's not my place, you know.
So your Tuesdays with TJ are on both Instagram and Facebook right now, right?
And LinkedIn. Yeah. So it's LinkedIn. Facebook. Cool. Yeah. So
have you decided what it's going to be today?
No, I'm going to probably work it out on the drive down to Newport.
So you're very consistent with it, folks. He's very consistent with it. So do you give yourself a deadline of what time you got to post it?
I try to be done, but I try to be end of business because I feel like there's more eyeballs during business hours for whatever reason. And again, I have nothing to back that up other than, you know, anecdotal evidence.
Same spot each time, same time. Is it like workshopping throughout the day or is it spontaneous?
It's more spontaneous. I don't ever script it. It's never scripted. And sometimes I'll talk for quite a long time and then say, that was terrible. I need to make this like a minute. Because again, the longer it is, the less people want to engage with it because, you know,
well, you've got some really,
about, you know.
And I will say this for the listener again, Tuesdays with TJ, social media channels at Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn. It's really good content. It's purposeful. It's thoughtful. It's altruistic. It's vulnerable. It's really good. And I love the fact that you keep doing it because it's
Thanks.
Bringing you energy also, I would assume, right? The invisible glove, what helps me helps others, right? I think so.
I think there's such a high expectation around engagement and views that I kind of teeter-totter between like, that was a good one, more people should be watching it. And then other times I'm like, let's just put that out in the world and whatever happens, happens.
Yes.
And I think the latter is really what you should, you know, and perfect is the enemy of good. Mm-hmm. So it's never going to be perfect. Just put it out, just do it, you know. So they're not slick. They're not, you know, highly edited. It's usually just, you know, one shot of me, you know, standing. Although I think I might do this one walking in Newport. But
nice.
And I don't know. You know, I don't know. We'll see.
I love that. That's the spontaneity that you love so much.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. There's no rules. I mean, and for the people, who, you know, there's a ton of people listening to this who are like, well, I don't know what the hell to talk about. Like I've done everything from sing to I dressed up like a bootleg character from Game of Thrones to I've done all kinds of crazy things on Tuesdays and usually, they all tie back into some kind of business thing or, you know, not self-help, but something, you know, that maybe has
it's
made
mentorship, right? It's mentorship from someone who's enlightened. If I were to summarize what Tuesdays with TJ is, it's an enlightened host sharing experiences that have affected him and helped him to critically think certain way, and it's out there, right? So I love the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
You know, it's that small change. It's that, you know what? I'm so glad TJ is sharing this because this made me feel good. And in turn, I turned and made someone else feel good, who then made someone else feel good. And all of a sudden, this is happening.
That's awesome.
Right?
I never really thought about that way. I really appreciate that. It's really nice. And it's interesting, as you're saying, you know, someone who's enlightened. I always, and you know, even when, you know, I'm coaching people in the mortgage industry or whatever, the way I kind of preface it is like, I have failed so many times. Almost everything I've learned in this industry has been by trial and error. And I want to try to fast pace it for everyone who's willing to give me a moment of their time. I don't find myself enlightened. I really find myself as someone who has had to pick themselves up so many different times because I've tried something and it didn't work out, or I whether it's a marketing thing or a different whatever, you try things and you go in with a plan, and like Mike Tyson says, you get punched in the face.
Yes.
And then you have to figure it out from there, and sometimes you do it, sometimes, you know what, like sometimes there's things that, you know, like that killer bee joke that I just can't figure out. So there's some things you just kind of leave on the floor and you don't pick up, and you say, you know what, I'm just gonna let that one go and move on, because I would never consider myself enlightened. I really am just kind of surviving a lot of the stuff, and people listening say, oh, you're being dramatic, you're over. Anyone in the real estate space right now who's still in it and still has their integrity and still gets up every day and does their daily sales activities, you're a survivor and you should be proud of yourself. I know you're probably not doing as well as you want to be doing, but you're surviving. And once we get through this, I believe there'll be a blue water opportunity on the other end of this isthmus tumult that we're going through. It is really the perfect storm of a terrible market.
Showing up. And the staying power, right? Still standing. Love that. Love the sharing, though. That's the thing. It's like, maybe you don't call it enlightened. Maybe it's self-aware. Maybe it's, I've made these mistakes and I altruistically want to make certain that you don't. It's great stuff. So again, folks, I encourage you to check it out. Now, let's talk about your biz for a second.
Yeah.
Somebody works with you. You're introduced by maybe the person you're meeting for lunch today, or maybe it's the radio station or what have you, doing your Gimme Shelter on Sundays at 1 o'clock on WPRO. And Thomas will put that in the show notes to link to it, because that's good stuff, I'm sure. Do you convert that to podcast?
We've been meaning to do that for 3 years. But no, the idea is, so for my goal, my personal goals is to have almost probably, we'd like to transition the show completely to podcast, cool. Eventually. So yeah, that way we could be a little bit more national rather than regional with it.
Love it. So yeah. With that, they work with you. They go through the buying process. They get the home, the confetti falls down, and they say, you know what? I want to sit down, find the Google machine, and write out a testimonial for TJ. What does that testimonial sound like?
That's a great question. So I really feel like I want the process to be as enjoyable as possible, whether it's fun. That's probably a stretch, but I try to take anxiety out of the process by being as educational and accessible as possible. What I find is the things that cause anxiety in real estate transactions are having a question and not having it answered for hours or days. And so I try to make myself as accessible as possible, because typically I can answer those questions in minutes. So I think recognizing what makes a good experience and then delivering on that. And it's interesting, as I started the business, I thought it was different for each person, but I feel like you want, this is going to be maybe a weird analogy, you want everyone to feel like they're going into a Starbucks, and there's a familiarity to it. There's an attention to detail. And if you go to a Starbucks in, you know, Providence or Boston or London or Paris, you're going to know you're in a Starbucks, and you're going to have a specific expectation around service and what you get and what it's going to be. And so I want there to be, even for first time home buyers, I want there to almost be a familiarity to it. And it's a work in progress all the time, but I feel like if we can create, you know, a safe space or a bubble for the people in that home ownership journey, make the process as enjoyable as possible. When I was in theater, I directed some Shakespeare, and Shakespeare is tough to get the audience to pay attention to the entire time. So I used to inject pop culture kind of Easter eggs along the way. And I'd always invite people to watch, because I would monitor, you know, watch rehearsals, and I'd monitor when they kind of look like they were fading. I'd be like, all right, I need to do something there. Same thing with our process. So we try to, you know, make it so that there are milestones where we're making the customer aware that they're further, you know, further down the road. And also, you know, maybe there's a gift for them, or some kind of congratulations, or, you know, making sure there's milestones all along the way, to make sure that they not just don't lose interest, but kind of feel like they're all alone on an island. Mm-hmm. That makes sense, you know?
So speaking of an island, you're obviously a performer. So this is probably an easy one for you. Karaoke typically puts people outside their comfort zone.
Yeah.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
The late, great Warren Zevon. Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
Wow. Yeah. You know, you're not the first to say that on this show. Yeah. And I've done that special. I've done that one too.
It's such a great song. It's one of those songs that if you're good with it, you'll get the crowd going, even though they're usually not familiar with the song. So
right.
I do love Warren Zevon though. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So the most important question of the entire conversation, someone wants to connect with you. What's the best way they do that?
So you can call or text me, 401-258-8523. Once again, 401-258-8523. That's my cell phone, and that's it. I mean, I'll give you a quick example of, and I was thinking another topic for Tuesdays I was thinking about was the difference between working a job and having a business, right? Because a lot of realtors and loan officers, they say, I am a business, is when people call you out of the blue to engage your services. Last night, I got a text from someone in California who had gotten my number from another loan officer in California I had met at the Masters in 2022.
Love it.
To ask about our doctor and physician loan. And he's a loan officer. He's like, I got a client for you. So, very lucky, you know, very blessed that, but also you put yourself out there. Like if you have someone, and like, how do you get in touch with me? Like, I'll call my assistant. This is their desk number. Like
they'll schedule an appointment for you.
Yeah. They're not that interested in meeting you. I really am sincerely. And I get so many scam calls every day, but you skim through them, you know, and that's part of the job. So.
And obviously, if you were to go on Facebook or Instagram and seek TJ Curran, you're going to also find Tuesdays with TJ. And you can also message you through that, right? If they were following you.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. You know, follow me. That way I can see the message. You know, I guess Facebook, you'd friend me or whatever. I'm running out of spaces for friends. I'm almost at that.
I think 5,000. They could simply follow you and then message you from there.
I think so. I don't know. I do talk to a lot of people, mostly on Instagram. I'm going to try to move everything eventually over to Instagram. So if you're on Instagram.
Well, you do have a 5-year-old.
I do have a 5-year-old. Yeah. So what does that mean?
It means Facebook might be for, you know, you might be aging out of that. Like you got to get back with the younger gen.
With the hip. Know? Yeah. I'm not doing TikTok and I refuse to. I have a TikTok account, but I don't do it. I had this great idea.
I think
too.
The algorithms would work well with you from what I understand about.
So listen
TikTok.
To this. Listen to this idea for TikTok. And if you're out there and you're willing to do it, you could steal this idea. I was going to do famous scenes from movies, but make it about mortgages.
Ah. It's great.
Wouldn't that be fun? Like,
it would be
just
awesome.
Like, just something to do.
It would be awesome. And people would get a kick out of it and they'd forward it and this and that. And maybe it turns into business. Seems like that's not the goal, though. It seems like it's more of the let's have some fun. Let's get some life energy. And if something comes of it, great. If not, have you thought about hosting a podcast?
I have. I have an idea. And I have a partner that I try to do it. This guy who is a comedian in New York. And we're going to tentatively call it Dad Pod, meaning like Dad Bod.
Yeah.
And talk about, you know, we're a little bit older. We have younger kids. And just, it's not about parenting advice. It's all the dumb hobbies you get
you
when you become a dad.
Did you see the Netflix Bill Burr movie?
Yes.
Old
yes.
Dads.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not like we're not going to give you advice on how to become a better parent. It's more like
stories.
Hey, I got into kettlebells because my back hurts and you know, like stuff like
love
that.
Love it.
You know, like,
people would listen.
Yeah.
You'd be great. Thomas, if you're listening, reach out to TJ and tell him what your services are.
Yeah, that'd be great. If we had someone to keep us in line, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
You know, but and a producer, that'd be great. So
and folks, so if you're concerned about all of these links and all of this that we've been talking about, Thomas will put them in the show notes. So wherever you're listening, whether it's iTunes, podcast, Spotify, Audible, wherever you're consuming this, you can click right through and you might even be able to dial right through if you want to call TJ, text him or DM him. He's super available, super engaging, as you can hear. Thank you, man. I appreciate you coming on and sharing time with me.
Thanks for having me. This was a great conversation. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thanks.
Cool. Folks, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this, if you laughed, if you learned something, if something moved you, if you thought of somebody, share this with them. Shoot. Share it with everyone. Have a great week, everybody. Talk soon.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe on your platform of choice for a new episode each week and share this with everyone and anyone. If you have any questions or comments or have an idea for another guest, feel free to shoot me an email at mstiles@styles-law.com. That's mstiles@styles-law.com. And if you are a real estate professional, be sure to check us out on our private exclusive Facebook page, The Real Estate School at 892, for content and Massachusetts continuing education opportunities. Be well, folks.
This episode is brought to you in part by SecuraTitle. SecuraTitle is a fractional paralegal service assisting with all things real estate in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. SecuraTitle.com, where security and title come together. SecuriTitle.com. SecuraTitle.
This podcast is being provided for informational purposes only. The podcast is not a comprehensive overview of the subject and is not intended to provide legal or financial advice or an endorsement of any product or business. The views expressed by podcast guests are their own, and their appearance on the podcast does not imply any endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Please seek legal, financial, or tax advice before taking any action on the matters or products discussed herein.